Lakers all the time.
It feels too easy. It feels too neat. It feels too not enough conflict-y.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chew. Brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from. Boucher Automotive. We are driven by you. And by the Bridgewater Modern Grill. Nestled in the heart of Milwaukee's emerging Harbor District, enjoy a specialty crafted menu centered around a custom oak-fed grill.
Our loyal listeners love hearing from Jason Wilde, love getting his perspective on all things Green Bay Packers, and I imagine today is no different. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
So does that mean I can't talk about how I've driven by the Bridgewater Grill number of times when I'm down there for ballet and I go and run some errands, and I'd like to know if I can just waltz right in there and say, hey, you guys sponsor me on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. How about dinner? Is that not how that works?
I think it should work that way.
Don't you know who I am?
What if I would? That is, there is nothing, in my opinion, worse to say than that. Although, I think what I would go with instead is, hey, I know Gabe Neitzel. And see how that works.
What about lose my number? Where does that rank? Where does lose my number rank on the things that you would never say to somebody? Can you imagine?
I did text him after that and said, I know we've had our differences at times in the last couple of years. Thanks for never telling me to lose your number.
Did you write back?
I don't like to discuss his side of our conversations out of respect for his privacy and sense of humor. So I will just say this. I was, and I would tell him this to his face, and if at some point we have this discussion, I will say this to him. I think that could have gone better.
Yeah, I was very disappointed in how that went down, Jason, as you can well imagine, as I have relationships with both Adam Schefter and Diana Rossini, who were called out in that space. But as I said to the guys earlier this morning, Rodgers goes into every one of these media availabilities, every one of these Pat McAfee things, with an agenda. And he wants to be measured, and he wants to seem logical, and he wants to seem intelligent. But if you let him unspool long enough, I think he shows his true colors. So I think that was an example of he kept it together. I'm not a victim. I understand. It's a business. Da, 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 da. But he got a little comfortable, and then it was like, pew, shots fired. That's not what I wanted to discuss with you specifically, though.
Before we move, I do want to say this, though. And again, this is another thing that I would say directly to him. I'm not afraid to do that. I really think that the having to say out loud stuff like I'm not a victim or I'm not bitter or there's no animosity and all those things, that you might as well just hold a big neon sign that says I feel like a victim and there's animosity and there's I feel aggrieved. Like I don't think as a construct for conversation, If you have to say that and say it as often as he has on McAfee over and over and over again, I just think that I think you're giving away the game, because I don't believe that his plan yesterday wasn't to try and sway some of public opinion toward, hey, I'm the victim here. I'm not the one holding this up. I'm not the one who wanted to leave. Although, again, in his answer to A.J. Hawk, he certainly wasn't very convincing about the idea that what if the Packers had said, no, we want you to stay, and would you have stayed then? And what was the first two words out of his mouth? Not really? Like, nah. I didn't think that, you know, and again, I am friends with Tom Fanning, who has handled his PR for the Packers. Obviously, Aaron and I have had a really long relationship, and there have been times when he has sought my advice and I have given it to him and it has benefited him. Every time I watch, and yes, he did call me out on this when we were talking at his locker once, where I said, look, man, I'm not saying this out of jealousy, but I just don't understand the appeal of you and the dynamic with Pat. Like, you never were the guy that had to have someone tell him how freaking great he was all the time. And he said, well, there's a little jealousy. And I laughed and I said, yeah, okay, guilty as charged. Doesn't change my larger point. And so I just, again, and there were some moments where I would like to have seen the Aaron Rodgers, who I did 4 years of shows with, who told me the very first time before we even did the first show, I know your ethics are important to you. I know you've taken a lot of blank over doing this. You never have to give me a question in advance. You ask me whatever you want. I can handle whatever you ask. And he did. And that is not the dynamic there. I would have loved for someone to push back on him on the idea of direct communication. Aaron, what has your direct communication been with them? Do you think you did a good enough job with direct communication to prevent this getting to the point that it's at?
Because I believe there was a report out there, Jason, to that point. Wasn't there a report out there, and it's so hard to keep track of where all of these come from at this point, but that he had gone radio silent on the franchise?
Yeah, I reported that too. There was a frustration that there had been very little communication for a very long time. Now he can respond to that and say, look, I didn't have anything to say. I was still trying to figure out what I wanted to do, right? And that would be a valid retort. But again, I am a obnoxious over communicator in most aspects of my life. I'm not the best at returning emails, I will admit that. But in general, I want to talk about stuff at every turn to make sure that everyone's on the same page, that no one's getting the wrong impression. And if Aaron Rodgers could apply some of that, he definitely doesn't need to be like me, because Lord knows I've got my flaws. But there are some aspects here that might have helped, not just with the court of public opinion, which, again, he says he doesn't care about, but you know he does. It's an unconvincing argument to say that he doesn't care about it at all. But maybe it doesn't get to where we are now, where we're in this stalemate. And I'll tell you this, I reached out to a number of NFL executives that I have some history with, so you can do your own sleuthing on this, to ask what's realistic in this trade that is currently at a standstill or at a stalemate. And one of the responses from someone who's been a GM was, it depends on the Rodgers, who's going to take on how much of Rodgers' contract. If the Packers take on some of that money, he said a second round pick. And if the Packers refuse to take on any of the money, he said a third round pick. Now juxtapose that to what the Broncos gave up for Russell Wilson and what the Rams gave up for Matthew Stafford. And now combine that with kind of the acrimony that we're looking at starting to emerge, and which will only get worse the longer this takes. And you find yourself thinking, man, they should have just done this last year. If Goody could turn back the clock, I have to think he's sitting there going, damn it, why didn't I just stick to it? I know we'd won back-to-back MVPs, but I wish I had just had the guts to do it last year. And he can't turn back time, as Cher has taught us.
So, Jason, who has the leverage?
Look, I was talking to two different friends of mine in the media, and I think one of them was going to write this last night. So it's Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, who's one of Sidney's godfathers. And he's like, I don't see the Packers leverage here. Like, there's everybody's arguing that, you know, Rodgers has said he wants to go to the Jets and that hurts the Jets' leverage. I think the greater point is he's not going to play for anybody else, right? Like, he's basically said that he wants to play. He has said he wants to play for the Jets. He has the power to play the retirement card if you try to trade him anywhere else that he doesn't want to go. It is in the AFC, which is what the Packers want. But the musical chairs of quarterbacks has largely stopped. So it's not like someone is likely to emerge to say, no, we want in on this. We'd like to acquire him. And the Packers are the ones with the $60 million albatross, or you know, maybe the anvil that the Roadrunner drops on Wile E. Coyote, waiting to fall on them if this drags out and drags out and drags out. And suddenly, Rodgers is spending the offseason in limbo, and the Packers still have him on their payroll. because the first week of the season, that is the ultimate deadline here, is week one of the regular season, when the Packers will have no choice but to take on the nearly $60 million of an option bonus, and then they're stuck with him, because if they were to cut him then, it's $75 million against the 2023 cap and another $24 million against the 24 cap. So, look, this idea that the Jets have no leverage, the only thing that I would base that on is that they have an owner who is desperate to win, who is desperate to have a great veteran quarterback, who obviously is willing to do lots of things to get him. And maybe public pressure and owner pressure leads to that. But I would hope that Joe Douglas stands firm and says, look, they're the ones that are in the pickle here, not us. He only wants to play for us. That is to our advantage. We should try to get the best deal possible. I am not giving away our first-round pick because I don't think we need to.
Is this the first true rebuild you've had to cover?
Yes. I mean, look, this is one thing Rodgers is right about, Gabe. Teams never actually admit it, right? I mean, unless you're like the Texans. Like, they're going to try and say that they think they've got some pieces and that they can be good this year. And frankly, you know, maybe they can. I mean, you know, I didn't think they were that far away, but how far down to the studs are they going to tear this, right? Like, they did pay Bakhtiari $15 million now. Converting base salary and roster bonus. So he got like 50, I don't know if it was like one of those publishers clearinghouse checks or what, but he got like $15 million. So he's in. That's why he tweeted that crying guy when Rodgers was done on McAfee. Look, other than him and Elton Jenkins, I mean, they've got some pieces on their offensive line. They've got two young receivers who they're excited about, but at the same time, now they're going to have a young, inexperienced quarterback throwing to him. I don't know if you guys remember this, but I always thought one of the reasons why Devontae, while he wouldn't flat out say it, he might as well have, I don't want to stick around if Aaron's going to retire and I got to play with Jordan Love. Because that Kansas City game, there was that throw on the sideline that was so far off target, and Devontae reached back to try and catch it, and I thought he was going to leave in an ambulance. He got hit so hard. And so, look, Jordan has improved a bunch. My one pet peeve about this, more than anything else, because there's plenty to have with Rodgers, is this idea that Jordan is so, like, ready now to be a starter because Goody has said so. Like, again, and I understand Aaron Rodgers is very difficult to work with, but if you were this, if they were truly this certain during the course of the season, then they should have had the guts to say, Aaron, look, I know you want to keep playing. I know you have this thing where you want to be just like Brett and play through everything. And he played through a broken thumb, not once, but twice. But it's really affecting you. I know you don't want to admit that. We want to shut you down for a couple weeks just to let it completely heal. And not play in any games. We're going to see what Jordan can do. We get to see that. I mean, they lost five, including the game in which he injured his thumb. They lost five in a row. If they were still brimming with confidence, maybe it was just they were afraid of Aaron and they knew that they couldn't tell him he couldn't play. But I would like to have seen them make the switch, because the Cowboys managed to survive for a while without Dak Prescott. I would like to have seen if the Packers could have done the same.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. I know it's going to be a very busy day for you as well. Thanks for chatting a little Packers, Aaron Rodgers, New York Jets with us.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.